today's verse is quite a famous verse, a very, very important subject matter. It's on the board, I presume, correct? Number 13. Tulayama,
Tulayama,
Navenapi,
Navenapi,
Na,
Na,
Sagam,
Sagam,
Napuno,
Napunar,
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 Bhavam,
Bhagavat,
Bhagavat, Sangi,
Sangi,
Sangasya,
Sangasya,
Matyanam,
Matyanam,
Kim,
Kim,
Utashishtaha,
Utashishtaha,
Tulayama Ladena Pi,
Tulayama Ladena Pi,
Naswaga Napumar Bhavam,
Naswaga Napumar Bhavam,
Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya,
Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya,
Matyana Kim Utashishaha,
Matyana Kim Utashishaha,
Tulayama Ladena Pi,
Tulayama
Naspagam napunabhavam,
Naspagam napunabhavam,
Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya,
Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya,
Madhyanam Kim Utashisha,
Madhyanam Kim Utashisha,
Tulayamalabhenapi,
Tulayamalabhenapi,
Naspagam napunabhavam,
Naspagam napunabhavam,
Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya,
Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya,
Madhyanam Kim Utashishaha,
Madhyanam Kim Utashishaha,
Tulayamalabhenapi,
Tulayamalabhenapi,
Naspagam Napunabhavam,
Naspagam Napunabhavam,
Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya,
Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya,
Madhyanam Kim Utashishaha,
Madhyanam Kim Utashishaha,
Tulayama,
Tulayama,
to be balanced with, Lavena,
Lavena,
by a moment,
Api,
even,
Na,
never,
Swarga,
heavenly planets,
Na,
nor. Apunaha Bhavam, liberation from matter. Bhagavat Sanghi, devotee of the Lord. Sangasya, of the association. Matyana,
those who are meant for
death.
Kim,
what is there?
Uta,
to speak of.
Asishaha,
worthy benediction.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death.
Purport.
When there are some similar points, it is possible to compare one thing to another. One cannot compare the association of a pure devotee to anything material. Men who are addicted to material happiness aspire to reach the heavenly planets like the moon, Venus, and Indraloka. And those who are advanced in material philosophical speculations aspire after liberation from all material bondage. When one becomes frustrated with all kinds of material advancement, one desires the opposite type of liberation, which is called apurnabha, or no rebirth. But the pure devotees of the Lord do not aspire after the happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom, nor do they aspire after liberation from material bondage. In other words, for the pure devotees of the Lord, the material pleasures obtainable in the heavenly planets are like phantasmagoria. And because they are already liberated from all material conceptions of pleasure and distress, they are factually liberated even in the material world. This means that the pure devotees of the Lord are engaged in a transcendental existence. namely in the loving service of the Lord, both in the material world and in the spiritual world. As a government servant is always the same, either in the office or at home or at any place, so a devotee has nothing to do with anything material. For he is exclusively engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. Since he has nothing to do with anything material, what pleasure can he derive from material benedictions, like kingship or other overlordships, which are finished quickly with the end of the body? Devotional service is eternal. It has no end because it is spiritual. Therefore, since the assets of a pure devotee are completely different from material assets, there is no comparison between the two. Suta Goswami was a pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his association with the rishis in Naimisharanya is unique. In the material world, association with gross materialists is veritably condemned. The materialist is called Yoshit Sangi, or one who is very much attached to material entanglement, women and other paraphernalia. Such attachment is conditioned because it drives away the benedictions of life and prosperity. And just the opposite is Bhagavat Sanghi, or one who is always in the association with the Lord's name, form, qualities, etc. Such association is always desirable. It is worshipable, it is praiseworthy, and one may accept it as the highest goal of life. End of purport by Srila Prabhupada. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasne Shirodhikam Mukam Kuroti Vajalam Pangam Lam Gayate Yatripatam Vande Shirodhundi Natarayam. Oh, Srimad Bhagavatam, in one sense, is to give us this opportunity to get Bhagavat Sanghi. The association of both the Lord and the Lord's devotees. The association of the Lord's devotees really means the association of the Lord. And they carry, just like we see when Vidura returned to Hastinapura at one first departure. Number of verses then. And Yudhisthira Maharaj chapter where Yudhisthira Maharaj receives Vidura after his journey.
113.10,
isn't it? Something like that.
Yes, 113.10.
113.10. Yes, wonderful verse spoken by Maharaj Yudhisthira, also similarly famous verse. Bhavadvita bhagavata stirta bhuta svayam vibho tirti kurvanti tirtani santakstena gadavita. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. It's the secret. They carry the Lord within their heart. They're not just, it's not the externals, the internals. The assets of the pure devotees are their internals. It doesn't mean physical internals. Sometimes you may mistake the pure devotee as a physical, in a physical sense. You may try to identify a pure devotee physically. And of course, there may be some symptoms, some symbols, some ideas there, but that's not the real assets of a pure devotee. What are the real assets of a pure devotee? What are their assets?
What they speak.
Excuse me?
What they speak.
Well, that's based on what? What is that based on? What they speak, of course, is a sign, identified something. I probably say, you know, you can tell somebody by what they say, what they speak. The fools, they don't speak, you never find out. But when they speak, what is that based on? It's like if you invest money in something, or you show money or something, it's based on the fact you've got money, isn't it? But it's based on the fact you've got something. What if it wasn't pure the word of God?
You've got Krishna in your heart.
It's stated here, they've got Krishna. Well, you've all got Krishna in the heart, so what's the difference? Everyone's got Krishna in their heart, know it or not know it.
Realization.
Pardon?
Realization.
They have realization, no doubt. Yes. That realization of Krishna in the heart, what else do they have? There may be different levels of pure devotees. And there are different pure devotees. We can see nectar of devotion. Many of you have studied your Bhakti Shastri. You will have studied nectar of devotion. What is the first chapter called? Oh, pure devotion service. So even in the sadhana stage, before the awakening of Bhava, if you want to speak of prema, there are characteristics which are defined of those of those who are actually pure. And what are those characteristics? Pardon? Yeah, it's the removal of all kleshas, miseries, causes of misery, and so on. Faults, klesha, shubhada, all auspiciousness, and awakening, and of course it begins, the Bhagavatam and nectar devotion basically is based on that person, Yavadasatashunya, Jamakamatinavita, Makunya Krishnam Shiva, that they're cultivating activities, devotional service favorable to Krishna. And they have no other desires other than devotional service to Krishna. So, on the other side, they have no other desires. We can see in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita must be there. Can someone bring maybe a few books? Who's going to be the books today? Leaning backwards and forwards, books. There's no place to put books here, so it's one at a time. Ladies can do that, they went on the doorstep. Ladies can do it. Andy, you can sit down if you want. You're a lady? Are you there, Diana? English, by the way. The ladies can do this job, they also can read. And then see. I mean, well, tapping the nail on the head here, but where in the Bhagavad Gita does Krishna explain the qualities of devotees? Chapter 12. In what sense? In what sense? Pardon? All those who are dear to me. There's some beautiful verses there which describe how those who are dear to Krishna, the devotee, his asset, as we said, he has Krishna in the heart. Everyone does, but the difference is that they're dear to Krishna, because Prabhupada says that every man, he's very, you know, maybe very charitable, but he's especially charitable to his devotees. And very, Krishna himself says, although he's not envious of any samaham sabhabhutation, he's not envious of anyone, he's equal to all. But you know, obviously those who are devoted are very, very special to him. They're very special. It's nothing, it's not discriminatory. It's only natural that one who is, you know, reciprocating with you, from somebody who's very close, it's naturally you're going to have a bit of a deeper relationship with, and reciprocate back. So Krishna does too, because they're possessed of certain characteristics, certain qualities, certain behavior, certain sadhubhushanam. That's what sadhubhushanam. We'll hear that probably in a minute. But in the third canto of Bhagavatam, spoken by Lord Kripalini. But here in the Bhagavad Gita, we see in the 12th chapter, we don't have time to read all these wonderful verses, but you can read them. Who is dear to Krishna? How you can be dear to Krishna, one who is not envious They have no envy in their hearts. Pure devotee is not envious. Hands up, all the pure devotees here. Say, we like to meet you. Of course, you won't put your hand up. Even if you're a pure devotee, you definitely won't put your hand up. If you put your hand up, you're probably not a pure devotee. So you're all pure devotees. Very good. He's a kind friend of all living entities, not just his team, his group, and everyone else is a, you know, devil or whatever. A friend to everyone. Does not think himself a proprietor. You're not a proprietor. And is free from false ego. Equal in both happiness and distress. Tolerant, satisfied, self-controlled, engaged in devotional service with determination. Mind and intelligence fixed on me. These are just some of the points mentioned in this cluster. You can see these are very extraordinary qualities which are very rarely found. The great soul is very, very rare. Very, very rare. It's durable, huh? Very, very rare. And you see again, where else is Krishna mentioning the qualities of these great personalities? Pardon? Chapter 9? Whereabouts in chapter 9? Tell me. 9:14, okay, we're good. Oh yes, very good. Well done. Very nice verse. Where's Mahatma? Okay, we have, where's Mahatma? Is he here this morning? There he is. What are the qualities of the Mahatmas? Very good. It's under the protection of Radharani. Extremely good point. O son of Prita, 13 and 14. Those who are not deluded, the great souls are under the protection of Radharani, the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional services, and the characters are fully engaged. They are not wasting any time. That's one of the characteristics of Sharanagati, of course, not to waste any time. Well, actually, it's a characteristic of ecstatic devotional service. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original, inexhaustible. And what are they doing? They're engaged in devotional service. And what does Krishna say in text 14? What you just, someone just mentioned. Text, what do they say? What are they doing? What are they doing?
Always chanting with
glories. Yeah. They're always chanting my glories. Not just that, they're chanting with great determination. What else? That determination, of course, is another indication of the other side of the devotion. Give us a yatna ka, we hear some other known deity. If you want that determination, give us a yatna ka, that determined devotional service, then Boga Ishvara, one has to be free of Boga Ishvara. This desire for material enjoyment, wealth, and all these things. To come to this. Yeah, they're not attached to all these things. You okay there, Mahaprabhu? Giving blessings to everybody there. Or waking them up. Probably the best kind of blessing, trying to wake them up. That's what we do when we associate with the Mahatma, they wake us up. We're sleeping in this world. The Mahatmas come in this world to wake us up. They don't come in this material world to keep us asleep. Some of them, they, you know, they give material benedictions. That's not really what they're meant to do. I mean, people often ask them, Swamiji, please bless me. Please, this is what you want. Bless me. Get money. Get money. Bless me. I want to be healthy. My mother never to die. Bless me, please. My child live forever. Whatever it is. materially speaking, as natural people ask these things. They have no knowledge, they have no understanding of who they are. They think their body is so natural, they'll ask for bodily things. So the materialists, as Prabhupada mentions here, they're always after, eager after material benedictions. They're always after material determinants. And they think that spirituality is basically a means to achieve material advancement in various ways. Prayer, religion, all basically focused on material, economic advancement or social sense enjoyment of various kinds, going to heaven. All these things are within the bracket of karma, material returns. So they're on the path of karma kanda, but they're not really following properly, so they remain on that. They don't just go round and round in a cycle of birth and death. So most people there, so the Vedas mostly deal with this. Mostly deal with the three modes of nature. They're not really even aimed at liberation. The next thing they are is, when people get fed up with that, after all their sacrifices and prayers and different things they do to attain the heavenly plans, when they get fed up with that, then some people, they do decide to try to get rid of it all, and they take to the path of generalization, but the path of aspiring to liberation from it all. Get out of this place. No, we tried, this love is not what we want. It's horrible. So then they try to get out of it, bring this misery to an end. And they usually aspire for liberation. So then, next stage, if it's some philosophical, panishadic direction, is mostly, not entirely, but mostly emphasizing the first step of Brahmaiti, Paramitmiti, Bhagavaniti, Shakyate, the Brahmaiti section, or understanding of the absolute truth only. And even if there's paramiti or supersoul understanding, it's usually with that intention of becoming one with the thing, one with the supersoul. There's very little emphasis. That's what Bhagavatam we heard yesterday. Narada Muni chastised Vyasadeva for not sufficiently emphasizing the Bhagavan. Bhagavan, a relationship with Krishna, eternal relationship, not just some time-serving relationship within the realm of Maya. But the eternal relation, devotional service, is eternal. Some people take devotional service as the means to attain impersonal liberation. Many people, they chant, many, even Swamis and Gurus and Mahatmas, whatever they are, so-called, they chant Hare Krishna and different mantras like that, but their intention is to become one with God. Mostly, they're not really Bhakti Yogis. They're actually using Bhakti Yoga for another purpose. Very common, but the devotional service is not something which is a tool or means to an end. Only it is, you can say, but that's not its main or prominent characteristic. It is a characteristic of the eternal nature of the soul to serve Krishna. So the real man must awaken that natural characteristic within our hearts. And as you can see, let's have another look at another verse here. They're also bowing down before me and perpetually worshipping with devotion. But if we go then to the, say, the 16th chapter, what is that called? Divine and, what is that? The one? Pardon? Demoniac natures. Hands up all those who have divine characters. Those who have demoniac characteristics, hands up. Goodness gracious. You've got to be careful who we're associating with. Well, the emphasis of this verse is to take association of the great souls, the Bhagavans, and here we find them. Asuras are sitting amongst us. You see, here we are, the Supreme Personality. These are the characteristics of those who are godly. The godly men. Transcendental, daivin, transcendental. Those who are born of godly qualities. Not saying born necessarily when you come out the womb, that may be there, of course, but those who are endowed with It's those characteristics Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says which establish religious principles of the behavior of the devotee, not just what they say, that's also there, but the most important thing is their behavior, how they behave. The Supreme Personality of God has said fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault-finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, freedom from envy, and from the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities, O Son of Bharata, belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. And that's quite a mouthful. Quite a lot of qualities there. And these are only some. Qualities that the devotee are, in one sense, unlimited because they're connected with Krishna. These qualities are also measured in one sense, unlimited in another. So there are many places where Krishna mentions it. I'm sure there's some others here in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna mentions the qualities of the pure devotees, because he mentions the qualities of Brahmins and this and that, but the qualities of the divine. Is there the assets? Are there these qualities which they possess because of their connection with Krishna? You can take the Bhagavad Gita away. You give me that Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I gave you. Thank you. We find, for instance, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his instructions to Sanat Goswami, that he also, I mean, many places instructed on the importance of association, but there's one place where he specifically mentions some of these key verses. These key verses. Here, text. This is the chapter 22 of the Madhyalila, text 51, if you want to follow on your iPhones, iPads, or iWatch, whatever you've got. This is text 51. I just read the English because of time. Unless one is favored by a pure devotee, he cannot attain the platform of devotional service. To say nothing of Krishna bhakti, one cannot even be relieved from the bondage of material existence. So everything rests on the mercy of Krishna. Only bestows his mercy, as we heard, maybe that was in Sydney, how Ajamyo got the mercy of a devotee in order to become delivered from the Yamadutas. It's not by chance that that happened. So it's by the blessing of the devotee. Hey, that's a kind of liberation when one's free from sinful reactions. Oftentimes when liberation is mentioned, also to freedom from sinful reactions. It's like devotional service at different stages. There. So, and this is a very important verse. Unless one is favored by a pure devotee, he cannot attain the platform of devotional service. He has to be favored. Otherwise, where Brahma comes, devotional service is called, it's not called by karma, it's not called by anything really. Even if we have a desire, sunlight, we will have a desire in the material world that suddenly we've never heard about before. The understanding of it. Even if we do, it's not caused by that effect. Devotional service is caused by bhakti, is caused by bhakti. It's not just by chance, it's by presence of bhakti that bhakti may awaken. Bhakti is there in potential, but it's awoken in the presence of bhakti. And if it's not bhakti, if it's mixed, you get what you associate with. Basically, Hiranyakashipu Vacha, he gave this in Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam. Right there, and set the canton somewhere after pastime, maybe earlier after pastime, the killing of his brother Hiranyakashipu, calmed down all the relatives and the family and he speaks some good philosophy. In one of the verses he said, association is just like a crystal, whatever you put before it is reflected in the heart. So similarly, whatever your association is, those qualities, and to associate with the main quality, the primary quality Prabhupada describes, You know, to the with Vaishnava, the devotee, is that they have this burning or this constant attraction to glorify Krishna, to speak and hear and chant about Krishna. They're always, as the verse in the Gita says, Satatam Kirti Atamas Chantas Chirati Devatama. They're always chanting Krishna's glories, constantly. This is their quality. Now, they may be saying other things, but it's always in that, for that purpose, to put Krishna in the center. They're always engaged in Sankirtan. Sankirtan means always putting Krishna in the center, connecting everything to Krishna. That's Sankirtan. Glorify Krishna through everything and everybody. They put everything in Krishna in the center, everybody. They're the pure devotees of the Lord, the Bhagavans. So we associate with the Bhagavan. We mean those qualities which are dormant within us, they also awaken in our association. If we keep that association of the pure devotees of the Lord. So this is one has to associate with a sadhu, such a Mahatma, who has accepted Krishna as the supreme source. Without being a Mahatma, one cannot understand Krishna's position. A Mahatma is rare and transcendental, and he is a pure devotee of Krishna. Foolish people get into Krishna. We should take shelter of such a Mahatma and ask for his causes. Mercy is only by their mercy. Yashya Prasada, Uddhava Prasada, Yashya Prasada, Nandati Katoka. Only by the mercy of the devotees can we get the mercy of Krishna. It's not possible. Narottam Das thing. Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nishtha Paiyaka Keva. That no one can attain to that platform of devotional service unless they're blessed by a pure devotee. Not possible. You have to get the blessings, mercy, pure devotee of the Lord. That's the process. Krishna doesn't bestow mercy on anyone. You have to get. This is also part. If we don't like it in this world, we're not going to get far in the spiritual world, because it's not like you go to the spiritual world and say, here I am, Krishna, what are you doing today? Do you want to have a game of chess? Or whatever you're into. How about cricket? Okay, let's go. Here's my baby, Krishna. Hold my baby for me. It's not like that. Not that you go right in front of me, maybe by the mercy of Radharani and the devotees, they might push you there, but it's not like that. The spiritual world, everyone is in, you know, in a position to the cyclic succession is there. Everyone's working under no Chaitanya's instruction is I'm pro no chinarapatina be by Shona Shudra. Hammanina Chibrivasi Novanastoya Tira. That's true. We're not Brahmin, Kshatriya, this, that, the other. And what are we can do Prodyanti Kila Paramanam Panamita Guru Bhatra Bada Kamanam Dasa Dasa Dasa. What are we? We're not this Brahmin, we're not Kshatriya. If we think we're a Brahmin and Kshatriya, we are not a Mahatma. If we think we're a Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi, or Brahmachari, Vihasta, Panapasta, or Sannyasi. We're not any of no Brahmachari, we're none of those things. And what are we? Nothing. Nothing. That's because we're nothing. We don't exist. We're God. What are we? Servants of what? Servant of who? Servants of the servants, King Kulashekhar in his prayers, what do you say? I'm going to be the servant of the servant, 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 servant. Servant of the servant. Imagine if you told your mother, she asked you, what would you like to be when you get up, when you grow up? I want to be a servant of the servant. What? What did you say? A servant of a servant, servant, mother. I want to be. What nonsense are you talking? Where did you get that from? Isn't it? Imagine how your parents would feel if you said that. I want to be the servant of a servant, 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 servant. Does anyone teach this? They teach this at school? University? They have degrees? They have servant's degrees or master's degrees? Which one do you want? guy go off the master's degree. You better get it through. You can't go back to Gaudiya with a master's degree. You've got to throw it in the bin. You only go back, not even with a servant's degree. It's got to be a servant of the servant. Without their mercy, you can't go back. It just doesn't work. It's not a mechanical thing. Krishna's not interested in mechanics. Not interested. Now, in Prabhupada writes, there's Kanto Bhaktam also. What is that? He said, the awakening of our dormant affection for Krishna does not at all depend upon a mechanical process of devotional service. Doesn't depend at all. It depends wholly and solely upon the mercy of Krishna. And the mercy of Krishna means the mercy of Krishna's devotees. That's the only qualification required, basically, is mercy of the devotee. Guaranteed, if you get the mercy of the devotee. Whatever else is going on, if somehow or another, it's like the dog of Shivananda saying, probably is the example. If somehow or another one becomes pleasing to a pure devotee, guaranteed you will go. Doesn't mean to say we should take it lightly and not care less about everything else. The mercy of a pure devotee has to be obtained. It's not a light thing. He said mercy one time, Prabhupada said, Kripa Siddhi. He said, my Kripa, my mercy are the instructions I'm giving. That way you can get my mercy. I'm trying to follow, sincerely trying to follow Prabhupada's instructions. Prabhupada is a Mahatma. In our own society, there are many great devotees, but not our business to relatively compare. But everyone has to understand that we're all really working on Sri Prabhupada. He's our acharya, he's our shelter, he's our guide. We have to associate with him through hearing his books, through hearing his lectures, hearing his tapes. Those who help to bring us to the Prabhupada's lotus feet and the lotus feet of Krishna, of course, are also in the same path. But primarily, we should put this in the center. Prabhupada has given his books so that we can associate with him and Krishna. So let's see what Bhagavatam says next. This is a famous verse, and this is spoken by, it's an address here, to a king named Rahugna. So who is speaking? Just Bhagavatam. O King Rahugna, without taking upon one's head the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee, a Mahatma or a Mahajan, one cannot attain devotional service. Devotional service is not possible to obtain simply by undergoing severe austerities and penances, nor by gorgeously worshipping the deity, or by strictly following the rules and regulations of the sannyas or vihasta order, nor by studying the Vedas, submerging oneself in water, or exposing oneself to fire or scorching sunlight. In previous processes, people used to do these things. That verse is with the fifth canto of Bhagavatam in the conversation between Jodhavata and Maharaj Rahugana. But this is the principle. Taking on the dust, and some devotees go a little bit overboard here, taking on the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee. They don't go overboard, they go underboard. They may not always understand what that means in terms of even a pure devotee of the Lord. It becomes a little bit overdone sometimes. But what to do? The real pure devotee of the Lord and taking the dust of the real pure devotee of the Lord to take their instructions as one's life and soul. To make that one's life and soul. Instructions of the spiritual master. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Prabhupada Prabhupada was inspired by this verse, the Yavasiyaka Kapudhiri Kayakura Nandana. This was his inspiration, right? Basically, giving that impetus, that strength to preach Krishna consciousness. And there it describes how Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur emphasizes the instructions of the spiritual master, all that matters to me, whether I be there or my sadhana, my sadhya, my practice and my goal. They're everything to me. If I go to hell or heaven, it makes no difference. The instructions of my spiritual master are all that matter. Assuming that the spiritual master is actually connected to Krishna in the right way. But that's the essence of the mercy of the spiritual master and how one gets the mercy of Krishna. One makes his instructions, just to Devi Kurava, Tiya, Kadi, Vita, Tasa. One makes those instructions with life and soul, firm faith in the instructions of the spiritual master. This is the ticket back to Godhead. It's not even, you know, some maybe due to good karma or whatever it may be, we may be good at this and that, we may have, you know, we may acquired some assets in a previous lifetime also, which are good. But that in itself is the one's sincere, let's say, adherence or dedication towards the spiritual master and his instruction, or the pure devotee. Now the Lord Chaitanya quotes another famous verse. Now this is in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is instructions of Narada Muni to King Yudhisthira. Unless human society accepts the dust of the lotus feet of a great Mahatma, devotees who have nothing to do with material possessions, this is another nivrita we heard yesterday, nivrita Krishna, they are without material possession or, let's say, attraction towards material control of any kind. Devotees who have nothing to do with material possessions, mankind cannot turn his attention to the lotus feet of Krishna. Those lotus feet vanquish all the unwanted miserable conditions of material life. This verse was actually recited by, I think, Prahlad. At that time, Hiranyakashipu became very angry and asked Prahlad why he had become a Vaishnava. In answer to this question, Prahlad Maharaj recited this verse to the effect that one cannot become the Lord's devotee without receiving the mercy and blessings of another devotee. That was Prahlad Maharaj who was spoken in that section of Bhagavatam, Narada Muni instructing Yudhisthira. The verdict of all revealed scripture, now this is a famous verse and many of you know it, is that by even the same word is mentioned as in today's verse, Lava Mantra. Loving up. Lava Mantra. What is that? What is this verse? Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha. Sarva Shastra Koi. Lava Mantra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. What does this mean? The burden of all revealed scriptures is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. A lava is nothing to do with lavatory. What is a lava? See, it maybe means lavatory, it means a place you should only spend one lava, not more than one leaventh of a second. 11 comes from lava, similar word, lava, 11. It's 11th of 1 second. If you do your business and get out, don't hang around. Devotees have, of course, that doesn't mean like the Mayavada, that get out of this material and bring it to an end. No, as Prabhupada mentions here, the Mayavadis, they want to get rid of it. The karmas, the materialists, they want to enjoy it, they want to increase it, even in the name of religion. And the Mayavada or the impersonal, they want to name a religion, they want to get rid of the material world. The devotees neither. Because it's not ours to get rid of. It's not ours to enjoy. It belongs to Krishna. So the devotee tries to utilize this material world in Krishna's service, and that's just the same as the spiritual world. Once everything's engaged absolutely in Krishna's service, one's already in the spiritual world. It's not a question of going somewhere. One's already there. It's a matter of, let's say, variety of relationship, but it's already there. We're already in the spiritual, we're already in the liberated stage. Don't have to, it's already just the liberated stage. One's no longer under the influence of the modes of nature, one's no longer under the grips of karma. It's free of the material conditioning. It's karma abundant, free. So that is the value, and then another the verse, actually, it's the verse we spoke today. Lord Chaitanya quotes the very verse, which is today's verse, Tisnam Goswami. Same verse. Duliyam Labena Api Nisvanagam Napunali. You've got that there. So those are just some of the famous verses. There are many others. We can go now. Someone can take this, please. One of the ladies, can please bring the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam part, I don't know, two, I suppose, if you've got the new version. Part 4th is the old one. Quick as possible, please. In the 5th canto, we see another famous verse spoken by 552. Who spoke that? 552. I was just got that iPhone to know. Just me tapping. Well, it's okay. Very good. No, I'm not saying you shouldn't. Thank you. These are the books. Let's see here. This is 25th chapter, sorry. Here we are. This is the glories of devotional service. Who is Lord Kapila Dev speaking to? Who? His mother. What was her name? Tomorrow's Mother's Day. Correct? Tomorrow we worship Srimati Radharani. And all the men should cook tomorrow and serve all the ladies. Is that right? Isn't that? That's correct. That's what it should be. When the mothers should be cooked tomorrow they have a day off. All the men should serve the ladies prasadam. All the husbands should serve. The children should serve their mothers prasadam. Make nice things for their mothers. Like that. And serve the cow. Mothers come in many ways. Wife of the guru, if the guru's got a wife. Make wife for the Brahmin. Nurse the earth. Mothers are there. Wife for the king. Let's see. This is where we begin here. Famous verses, very important. I recommend you all to read this. It's like there's certain sections of the Bhagavatam which are like, you know, everything, the whole Bhagavatam, but certain sections they kind of like the second chapter, for instance, of the first canto. Like that. Prasangam ajam pasham atmanakavayo viduhu. Seva sadushu krito mokshadwaram upavatam. You know these verses, I'm sure. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Purport. Here it is clearly stated that attachment for one thing is the cause of... Oh, I won't read the purport at that time. But the point of this verse is, it's a prelude to the next verses, that attachment, every living entity, no living entity can be without desire. It's the nature of the soul to be attached to something. We're attached to the Brahman, we're attached to material energy, we're attached to the super soul, we're attached to Krishna. Somehow or another, everyone's attached to something. Nobody is desireless. And people say we have to become desireless, but that is also a desire to be desireless. It's also a desire to merge into the Brahma Jyoti and remain there. No living entity can be without desire. There's a nature that no mean to existence if there's no consciousness. Desire. Attachment is on the platform of consciousness. We simply have to change this. By changing the direction of our attachment, and consciousness becomes purified. Where attachment is to the material, then our consciousness becomes covered with material pictures. Material perception, we could say, of how we see everything. If we continually try to, let's say, channel through our senses and the mind, relationship with Krishna, or devotees of Krishna, then gradually our consciousness starts to develop. The proper perception. You start to see in a proper way, as the Mahatmas see. You may not see, but by practicing the process or the life that they lead, following in their footsteps, whatever is relevant, and gradually our perception also starts to develop the correct perception of seeing Krishna in the center instead of ourselves or somebody else. But see that the Mahatma teaches us to put Krishna in the center of everything. Center of him, because he's also there, you could say simultaneously with Krishna, but not separate from Krishna. Then it becomes a cult. If all we were thinking, oh, I don't care about Krishna, I only care this, that, the other, that's not quite right. You may say that sometimes, but that's not quite right. The pure devotees want us to actually have Krishna in the center of our lives. That's their objective. And the pure devotees also there simultaneously, but not separately from Krishna. Krishna is never separated from his devotees. The next verse, which is a famous verse, these are some of the symptoms of a great devotee. We know it, many of you know it. Tatikshava, how's it go? Tatikshava kurunika surida sarvadehinam ajata shatravakshanta sarvasarubhushanaha. Mentioned earlier, Sarubhushana. What is Sarubhushana? What is that? Sarubhushana. Yes. Sublime characteristics. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. Similar to the Bhagavad Gita, he has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scripture, and all of his characteristics are sublime. I would like to read this purport, but it's quite long. Read a bit of it. His concern is to enlighten people in devotional service. That is his mercy. He knows that without devotional service to the Lord, human life is spoiled. A devotee travels all over the country from door to door preaching, "Be Krishna conscious. Be a devotee of Lord Krishna. Don't spoil your life in simply fulfilling your animal propensities. Human life is meant for self-realization or Krishna consciousness." These are the preachings of a sadhu. This is another characteristic. Prabhupada in one lecture in New Vrindavan, he said, the prime symptom of one who loves Krishna is that he wants to see his holy name spread all over the world. He is not satisfied with his own liberation. He always thinks about others. He is the most compassionate personality toward all the fallen souls. One of his qualifications, therefore, is karunika, great mercy to the fallen souls. While engaged in preaching work, he has to meet with so many opposing elements, and therefore the sadhu or devotee of the Lord has to be very tolerant. Someone may ill-treat him because the conditioned souls are not prepared to receive this knowledge of devotional service. They do not like it. That is their disease. Sometimes people don't like medicine. They don't like the cure for their disease at all. The sadhu has a thankless task of impressing upon them the importance of devotional service. They don't like to restrict themselves. And the doctor sometimes says, "No more smoking. No more sex life sometimes." Oh my God. Impossible. They say, "No more sex, otherwise you'll get in trouble." The sadhu has a thankless task. Sometimes devotees are personally attacked with violence. Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Haridas Thakur was caned in 22 marketplaces. Lord Nityananda was hit by Jagannath and Madai. Still they were tolerant because their mission was to deliver the fallen souls. One of the qualifications of a sadhu is very tolerant and merciful to all fallen souls. He's merciful because he's the well-wisher of all living entities. After all, preaching means to bring pleasure to Krishna. And when Krishna's parts and parcels are separated, that means they're not giving pleasure to Krishna. So the devotee wants to increase Krishna's pleasure by reconnecting the parts and parcels with Krishna, to bring pleasure to Krishna. It's not all about just being, you know, goody-goody, or just trying to give happiness to another jiva. That's secondary. The primary thing is to give pleasure to Krishna by reconnecting his parts and parcels with him to increase his pleasure. That's sankirtan. He is not only a well-wisher of humans, but a well-wisher of animals as well. It is therefore said, sarvadehinam, all living entities. Not only does a human being have all living entities are in this material world, they're all part and parcel of Krishna. They're all devotees in their constitutional position. So to re-establish them in their constitutional position, devotee can't tolerate. On the other side, he can't tolerate to see that the parts and parcels are also in a distressful condition, being endowed with similar qualities to Krishna in minute proportion. They're also experiencing the same principle of wanting to be loved and to love and to be happy and so on. And when they're in this material world, they're frustrated. They're forced to suffer. So many could go on and on and on. Then another nice verse. Such a devotee engages in staunch devotional service to the Lord without deviation. For the sake of the Lord, he renounces all other connections, such as family relationships and friendly acquaintances within this world. Engaged constantly in chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, The sadhus do not suffer from material misery because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. It's like Haridas Thakur, Jesus Christ, and they said, there may be appear to be suffering because they're being tortured or killed, but internally they're not. They're absorbed in Krishna. They're just thinking compassion for these people. They're more tolerant than a tree simply tolerates. The pure devotee is more tolerant than a tree. He doesn't just tolerate, he blesses those who are trying to abuse him or her. He blesses them. He simply prays for their welfare. He's not thinking of these people, I'll get my own back on them if I ever get out of here. He's not just thinking, let me tolerate this and hang on. But he's actually blessing them at the same time. Please shower your mercy on these people, my Lord. Please don't punish them. Please, they don't know what they're doing. Please have mercy on them. This is their mood. Because they're absorbed in Krishna. They're not thinking of the material world. Oh, why is this happening to me? Why is Krishna doing this to me? Oh, why am I not getting respected? They're getting respected. We think so many things. Oh, it's me in the center. Well, don't think like that. Oh, my mother, oh, virtuous lady, these are the qualities of a great devotee who are free from all attachment. You must seek such attachment to such holy men, for this counteracts the pernicious effects of material attachment. This is the process. To search, or to associate by hearing from the great souls, the process of hearing from these great devotees is the process of change of heart. This is how our consciousness becomes the words emanating from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master. Guru Mukha Padma Vakitekodiyalikya. May my consciousness be purified by the words emanating from the lotus mouth of my spiritual master. This is the process. And of course, it's not that we just leave it at that, we put them into practice as best as we can. This is the process, to hear attentively from the pure devotees of the Lord. Hear from Srila Prabhupada attentively. And then another famous verse, some of you may know this too. Satam pasangam mamabhiryasam vidho bhavanti vidkan sayana katava tajoshanaras prapabhagavatmani Shradhanatir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. In the association of pure devotees, everyone in this movement, now I don't know, it's in the fourth canto somewhere, Srila Prabhupada describes how he's established this Krishna consciousness movement to provide this facility where people can get the association of pure devotees. Now we have already admitted, frankly, that we're not, in one sense, pure devotees. But because one is serving the pure devotee, it's like if you're a representative of the government, the person you're dealing with has to treat you just like you are the government. So we may not be a pure devotee, but we're trying to represent Srila Prabhupada. So in that sense, one is considered also, in that sense, to the degree that we're representing Srila Prabhupada in the disciplic succession, a pure devotee of the Lord. So the idea is, in this Islam society, that everything is geared around that, to please Krishna according to how the pure devotees teach us how to please. That's why even in things like what we cook, how we offer it, what we do, is taught by the pure devotees of the Lord. Because maybe at this stage, maybe another stage, it may be different. When one comes to the Raghunuga platform, things may be different. But at our stage, Vaidhi Bhakti, we have to follow these principles, because that means we're following the instructions of the spiritual master, that means we're taking shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master, that means we're eligible to receive Krishna's mercy. We have to do things according to their directions. In this way, one's associating with a pure devotee of the Lord. So that is the process, our stage. So Prabhupada has created this movement. He hopes that every devotee will also become like this, become pure devotees in the sense of following the pure devotional path, even if we're still not yet self-realized, so to speak, one's nonetheless situated in the boat of pure devotional service. And anyone who comes to the loop will also be able to get aboard that pure boat and cross over the material ocean of birth and death. The idea of this move, and anyone who tries to think, although the words are specifically written, aloof from this Krishna consciousness society, it can mean wherever there's Krishna consciousness, we're not a cult, we're not, you know, we don't have a monopoly. We shouldn't think we do either. Prabhupada has given us the best opportunity, and without a doubt, he's the most secure captain of the ship, we could say. But nonetheless, if others are also engaged in pure devotional service, the same principle applies. It's not our business to judge them. But the principle is that we have to stay in the Krishna consciousness movement, wherever that movement is Krishna conscious. Not just staying in the movement, it's a Krishna consciousness society. The society of those who are engaged in Krishna consciousness. And one who tries to, who thinks that they can become Krishna conscious and remain aloof from the society is living in a great hallucination, Prabhupada writes. Great hallucination. You cannot become Krishna conscious without the association, both because you cannot get the blessings of Krishna without their association. Without the blessing of Krishna, one cannot possibly. How can possibly one be Krishna conscious? It's like cancer or something. You become ravanas and cancers. It's not their business. Business is anukulyena, favorable. Krishna anushilanam. Anushilanam refers to cultivating by following or in the instructions, sattavite, in the association of devotees or under their guidance. Sadhu sangha. The two things are there. Asat sangha, associate. To do instruction gives us these two points, favorable and unfavorable. Unfavorable. It's unfavorable is to associate with worldly minded persons. Satsanga. No, was it? Asatsanga. Associating with worldly minded persons. We have to give that up. A Vaishnavachara. It's asatsanga. We have to give up this worldly minded association, whether it's in our mind or around us. And we have to take sadhu sangha, association of devotees. And there's the change has to be made. We want to have a change of heart. Where do we get to? In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. You have to hear the association of devotees. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation. And thereafter he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed, then real devotion and devotional service begin. So we didn't finish, there's a verse of Rishabdev in the fifth canto, 552, if you want to look it up. Very famous verse, Mahatsevam Dwaram Mahuridhi Mukte. Tamodwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam. Prabhupada quotes the Yoshit Sangi Sangam, the association of worldly minded persons, persons who are attached to sex life, to the opposite sex, women in the case of men. Attached, if a man is a devotee, being attached to that is different. If they're devotees, it's different. Husband and wife are devotees is a little different, but it shouldn't be for the selfish, sensual reasons. Merely for the fact that they're awakening our Krishna consciousness, we may be attached to husband, wife, whatever it may be, but not for the sensual purposes. So one is attached to the sensual purposes, then tamodvaram, the gate to hell is open. And those who are saved, those who are serving or associating with the mahats, the mahatmas, the great devotees of the Lord, those are actually devotees of the Lord. You get what you associate with. So association works. Mahatsevam Dwaram, the gate, Ahura Mukte, the freedom from this bondage is open. Now the different mahats, sometimes the person is also mahat, they're also beyond material life. Only by associating with them we will not attain Krishna Prema. We have to associate with the devotee of the Lord, pure devotees of the Lord. They're very important. The whole process Srila Prabhupada has given us of this Krishna consciousness movement is to give us the opportunity to associate with the Mahats. The Bhagavatam is full of association of Mahats. And the program in the morning, we're associating with each other, we're associating with the Mahatmas in the sense of following their instructions as best we can. We're associating with Tulsi Devi, Vishnu Prabhupada, and so on and so forth, and this is the process to keep this association as much as we can. So then during the day when we're working or whatever we're doing, we can start to see what we're doing and everything around us in relationship with Krishna. This is also the means to work is Krishna. The work itself is provided by Krishna. The fruits of the work are for Krishna. These people are Krishna's parts and parcels. The brain, this intelligence to do this is all coming from Krishna. The raw materials are all coming from Krishna. They all belong to him. So wherever we are, we can see every situation. The suffering I'm getting is Krishna's mercy, just to purify me. Otherwise I should have had to suffer so much more than I'm suffering now. I deserve to. Everybody always sees everything in relationship with Krishna. This is what the Mahatmas teach us, to put Krishna in the center of our lives always, no matter what's going on or where we are. This way we can keep the association of Mahatmas in our heart. We can also start to carry, so to speak, Krishna in our hearts by always seeing everything in relationship with Krishna. Our tendency is only we see some things in relationship with Krishna and some we don't. Some we see in relationship to me and them. This is the illusion, I am mine. You have to realize everything belongs. It's Ishavasya Midam Sarvam Yatkin Chaja Gacham Kivas. Ishavasya is where everything is centered on Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we'll finish there. Hare Krishna Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any questions? Tolerated my association for an hour and a half almost. You must really be asuras. You must all be asuras to associate with me, unless you're trying to save me or something. My only attraction to this movement is to try to eat as much as we can, especially when no one's looking. I don't believe in Krishna, he's there at all, so no one's looking. Over the back and he can't see it. He's not there. The other attraction I have is I very cleverly maneuver myself into this position so I get lots of, it's a good pay, it's a good income. Many people are without a job nowadays, but I'm doing pretty good wage. I mean, if you want a job, you can go to the job center and say, I want to become a guru or a sannyasi. What's the wage? How much do I get? Upstairs if anyone wants to give me any money. I promise the bank account is very secure. There's more to it than that, I can tell you. There's more to it than Mahaprasadam and Dakshin. Yeah. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj said 99% of our devotional advancement depends upon this point, the mercy of the association of the pure devotee. And we can understand that. It would be nice to know exactly that's right. We have nothing except the association of the devotee. We have nothing except for the mercy of the spiritual master. What we have, what do we know? How can anyone speculate and expect to become Krishna conscious? Impossible. Not possible. It's only the mercy of the pure devotee is directing us how to please Krishna. That's causeless. We don't deserve it. We haven't asked for it. It's not anything to do with karma. It's not by chance. It's by their mercy that they are the friend of all. And they're trying to distribute this mercy to every living entity. Is eligible in that sense to receive this mercy, we just have to take it. Just take it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna, Bhaktivinoda, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premanandini ki jai.